Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. This year should be a special schus for the Am HaYoshev B'Tzion and for Golan ben Gavriel and Matan ben Vora and David ben Ziva and Betzalel ben Batya and Haravah Yosef ben Chana and Moshe B'Shemetz and Moshe Mordechai ben Yaakov Kashlita Chai Chefei Maschel Esas B'im Chal Diyutz Basya B'Ezuchai Ben Esther Simi and Simcha Nadina Minya Rus Victoria Bastila Rovida And I came across a beautiful letter that was written by Maran HaRav Kook to his son, HaRav Tzvi Yehuda, during World War I. Now, I must tell you, if you follow any of my shiurim, you know that I am a... aficionado, a fan, a enthusiast, an admirer of Torah's Maran HaRav Kook. And the reason is, among other things, is because it's just always so new and original. It's just illuminating. It is scintillating. You know, whatever he touches, it's just such originality, such depth. So, you know, you read a letter like this, and you say, you know, what did he say? You know, what did I say, Parsha Zachar? What do you say? Kill Amalek, they're bad. Amalek is Safek, Amalek is Gematria Dollar. It's Gematria Safek, Gematria Dollar. And it's all true. It's all true. Divrei Cyrus is Mamish Gavaldi. But you just walk away. It's a short letter. And you walk away shaking your head saying, wow. Les Dane Barnash. This is not a regular person. The way he could just reread a text, read the Torah, see it in a completely new light, and bring it to the world, bring the depth and the beauty of the Torah to the world. It's just, it's so special. So this is, again, not a long letter, and it wasn't written as an article. We have the Ma'amarei HaRa'aya, that articles he wrote in various publications, very beautiful. They have a number on Purim. If you're interested, you look in the Sefer Ma'amarei HaRa'aya. For whatever reason, about half of the Sefer is available online. I don't know why they don't have the other half. But anyway, if you have Otzer HaChachma, then you have the whole thing. But in the they have a wiki page for Ma'amarei HaRa'aya. So he has on Purim. But this was just written as a regular letter to his son. And I'm so happy he wrote this letter. Because it just allowed us a window into what the Rav was saying during World War I. What Torah he was saying. We know in the Rav's biography that he was stuck. He had gone for an Agudah convention, interestingly enough, before the war. The war breaks out, and now he can't get back to Eretz Yisrael. At the time, he was already living in Eretz Yisrael. But he couldn't get back. So he spent some time in Switzerland, some time in England. And I read that the Goyim used to stand outside their homes to watch the Rav go to Shul on Shabbos, just to see the holy man walking by. They could just see the Kiddush on him. So first I'd like to share a recollection of Rabbi Dr. Isidore Epstein, who was a youth in the East End in Rav Kook's time and a disciple of the Rav. And it's important to note that he later on became the editor of the Sansino Talmud, which was very important because it helped kids like me study for Gemara tests, because we certainly weren't doing it in the original. And back then they didn't have art scroll. I'm saying I lived in a different century, in a different millennium. So that's what I had to use. So anyway, this is Rabbi Dr. Epstein writes, I have seen and known many remarkable and saintly scholars and teachers in my life, but never one who is so richly endowed with all the gifts of mind and soul, which it pleaseth the Holy One, blessed be He, to bestow on His loving ones. A Gaon, mystic, and philosopher, he was a veritable religious genius, capable of ravishing even the poetic genius of a man like Bialik. His greatness was one which came not from books, but from the inner welling forth of a richly endowed soul. His own personality had something ethereal about it. His large, tender eyes, inscrutable and dreamy, gazing as it were into eternity, lent mystery to his aspect. He was also gifted with extraordinary eloquence, and under the spell of his talks and soothing voice, it was often felt that beauty was returning on earth, and peace and quietness to the tortured human soul. So here he is, stranded in London. He's the Rav of a shul called Machzike Hados. And there were a number of stories told from this period. When they were air raids in London during World War I, he was fearless and only reluctantly entered an air raid shelter. So his secretary wrote about an occasion where the Rav went down to the shul basement to alleviate the fears of his family. The crowds gathered around him as he said Tehillim. Eventually, most of the people fell asleep, but the Rav remained awake, holding a small Tanakh. And he said, Perek Mem Gimel, judge me, Hashem, and fight on my behalf, Rivas Rivi, against a merciless nation. The words were soft, but the Rav recited them with a melody that sounded like the whole Jewish people pleading for divine compassion, saying, and this is from that same Perek, Shlach Orcha V'Amitecha, send your light and your truth, they'll guide me. They'll bring me to your holy man and to your dwelling place. It's known that the Rav, when he lived in London, he would like to go to the gallery and see pictures by Rembrandt. He held Rembrandt was a Chassid Umas HaOlam, was a very special person, and he saw at least he's quoted as saying that when he first saw Rembrandt's works, they reminded him of the story about the creation of light, that it was so strong you could see from one end of the world to the other, and he was afraid the wicked will abuse it. So what did he do? He preserved that light for Mashiach, and he thinks that Rembrandt was privileged to see a little bit of this light because his art paintings are so beautiful. In 1917, there was a divide in British Jewry between pro- and anti-Zionist forces. Rav Kook, of course, was on the pro-Zionist side. He had contacts with Nachum Sokolov and Chaim Weizmann and influenced the negotiations. So he condemned as treachery the anti-Zionist letter sent to the newspaper by some of the communal leaders. And his remarks were quoted in the House of Commons at a gathering at the Albert Hall to mark the declaration. He said, I did not come to thank the English people, but to congratulate it with the blessing of Mazel Tov and its great zchus and the merit of being the one nation to grant us the declaration. They have online an interview from about 30 years ago with an old man, a doctor, who was a young man at the time that Rav Kook was there, and he tells stories about him. So, very, very beautiful. Anyway, that's just a background. That's Rav Kook being in London. So let's now get to the Divrei Torah. This is a letter that he writes again to his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, and this is Tav Resh Ayin Zayin, 1917. Says the Rav, Dibarti b'Shabbos Kodesh Dino lefnei kahal makshivim al dvar mechiyat Amalek. I spoke on Shabbos in front of the community about the erasure of Amalek b'toch zikuch kol elkei ha-metziut. Right, everything was good. The first half of the sentence. Now everything, nothing started getting complicated. B'toch zikuch kol elkei ha-metziut b'chol ha-marachot המסובלים ממסע השיגים של זוהמת הרשעה. You have to purify all levels of existence, of reality, all that have this, the dross, that are tainted by the evil of Amalek. The evil of Amalek invades every aspect of the universe. Even the holy frameworks, we're not immune to this defiling influence. So therefore, they have to be erased if necessary, because Amalek is still here. That comes out from the Reishis Goyim, Gam B'tochnei HaKodesh, HaMetapchim Ha'adei P'kiyata Rasha L'Rasha B'dei Rasha Olam L'Roetz. It even affects the holy. V'zeh Tam Yisur Netinat Kankantum B'toch HaDio. There's something called Kankantum. This is, they translate it as sulfuric acid. So why are you not allowed to use this sulfuric acid, this kankantum, in your ink when you write Sifrei Torah? Because it says that there it has to be ksav sheyochol lihimachos. It has to be a writing that can be erased. Why does the writing have to be erased? Because even writing, even holy books, must have the potential to be erased, as they are also they also may have been tainted by the sparks of evil. Mitzat tzichtzuchei harish'a hanogim be'erkei hakodesh, because of the they're tainted by sparks of evil. Rachmana litzlan, possibly. And if the hand of evil completely contaminates at the very foundation, at the very root, we burn even the holy books. You can burn a Sefer Torah. Can you imagine burning a Sefer Torah? Well, we do. If it's written by a min, if it's written by a heretic, we burn the Sefer Torah. But usually, however, holy objects can only come in lighter contact with evil. הרי שורפים אותם ואת ההזכרות שלהם כדי שלא נניח מקום, לא למינים ולא למעשיהם. As we see in the Rambam in Yesodei Torah 6:8. בחילות הקודש רק נגיעה יש לה. So in general, it only has a light touch. כמגע איש הנאבק עם יעקב, like the man who battled Jacob. ודי למטרת מחיקה זו מחייה כוחנית, הידי כתב שיכול למחות. So it's enough that we have ink that can be erased. Normally, we don't have to burn it mamish. At times, it needs burning. But at the very least, it has to be erasable in order that, because it might have been tainted by evil. So the fact that we don't use kankantum, this unerasable ink, is to show that there is still amalek in the world, and even holy things are impacted by that. That's important to remember. That even when we're holy, we still have that koyach of amalek. For Rabbi Meir, there was one scribe, one sefer, who did add kankantum to his ink. And that is the second century Chacham, Rebbe Meir. Because his chaverim, they didn't paskin like him because they couldn't fully understand what he was saying. It seemed to be ipcha mistaber when he was speaking. They didn't chap. And in his Torah, it didn't say kosnos or with an ayin, that Adam and Chava had a cloak of leather, of skin, but rather with an aleph of light. Is that something? Because that's where Meir's madrega. They can't follow him because nobody was equal to him in his generation because he was in such a high level. And in the Yerushalmi, and he would have a light instead of leather because he was on that madrega already of light, of kosnos or of a spiritual malbush. We spoke about that recently. With them seeing the physical malbush and the spiritual malbush, the aura is spiritual malbush. And the Yerushalmi, it says, "Hamashichachon, klomar harat neshama mimaaracha kazu sheolam yale alav achrei shekvar rosh haMashiach yizrach veharasha keashan tichle." So he was on that madrega of lo'asid lavo, because he aspired to attain the future enlightenment of the time of Mashiach. So that's what it means. He had the Mashiachon, the Mashiach. That was the shining neshama from that world that's going to happen when the light of Mashiach is already shining and the evil will dissipate with smoke. In other words, he was already Shaykh to La'asid Lava. That's where it came from. So he has that title of Your Mashiach in Kalayim 9:3. So he didn't need kankantum because he was living in that world where it's up, where there's no amalek anymore, where you don't need to erase anything anymore. Mitido lo haya tzorech, v'gam chisaron yesh b'miniyat hatalat hakankantum. There was no need, and there's also a chisaron when they don't have the kankantum. That why? Because now, when you don't have kankantum, it could be erased. He doesn't want that. He's living in that world of light where it's only pure, only good, so it doesn't have to be erased. ואשריות המחיקה וראויות לה, הרי הוא תוכן מנוגד למהות האור המזוקק של נהורה אילאה. And the ability to erase is against the higher light that's spoken about in the Zohar HaKadosh in Bereishis Zayin Amud Aleph. So since he's on the level of Nahor Eilah, there can be no erasure. המנהיר ומאיר עיני חכמים בהלכה. He shines the eyes of chachamim in halacha. Erevin Yud Gimel. That's why he's called Rabbi Meir. It wasn't even his real name. But he was called Meir because he would enlighten the eyes of the chachamim in halacha. Because he's teaching Mashiach de Ketorah. So for him, you have to use Kan Kantum. That's Rav Kook's Chiddush. That's why it says he had to use Kan Kantum, because he was on that level. The fact that he used Kan Kantum, it's in the Gemara. But the reason he's explaining why is because he's on that high Madrega that no erasure is necessary. Adrav, it's a chisaron. V'apimidatoy amatil Kan Kantum betoch adio. Aval Rabbi Akiva, there in Erev and Yud Gimel, he argues. Amar lo shemidat ha'olam adayin nidreshet higam b'chol elkei ha'kodesh l'koach mechika. Ha'mechika. כדי שיסטף ממנו ענף מחיקה, המחיקה המוחלטה למחות זכר עמלק בכל הסתעפותה ומציאות המחשך של עמלק, התפשטות כל המידות הרעות בחופשיות הלאומית של כל עם וגוי, המביאה את כל הסנות הפרטים והכללים כדברי הפסיקתא, שכל זמן שעמלק בעולם כנף מכסה את הפנים רק מחייתו נאמר ולא יכנף עוד מורך. ואז אור התורה שבה פה מתאחד עם תורה שבכתב, ואורים מתפלשים מזו לזו. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you know how to use Kan Kantum, because in the world's current state, everything has to have the potential to be erased, to be corrected, even holy things. Only in this way can we obliterate Amalek and his deleterious and harmful influence. And then, why? Because when he's here, what brings all the asonos prati and baklali? Amalek. Because the root of the ra in the world is Amalek. And that's mispashe to all the other nations as well. And that's what brings all the ra to the world. So as long as there's Amalek, it says in the Medrash, there's a covering on the face. And only b'mechiyasu it says, v'lo yikanef od morecha, and your teacher will no longer be hidden from you. Then we're going to be able to see the light. Then we're going to be able to see the Shekhinah. Then we're going to be able to see the goodness of the world. The purity of the world is going to come out. But in the meantime, it's darkened by Amalek. And then the light of Torah Shebaal Peh is going to unite with the light of Torah Shebichsav. So Hashem commands Moshe, number one, K'sov Zo Zikaron B'Sefer. That's Torah Shebichsav, write it in a book. And then Sim Bozne Yoshua, that's Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Ve'en kosin shalom al-ksav shum davar mitorah shebichtav, k'day shu lo la'arev et ha'ktav im ha'peh, k'biura shel svara zo b'devrei Yerushalmi, b'megila. In other words, whenever you write Seferim, they are not allowed to write Baal Peh. They're not allowed to write from memory. Why? Because there is a division between the written and spoken word. So therefore there have to be two different channels. There's the written word and the spoken word. But the written word is not the spoken word, so you can't write it from memory. It has to be written from something that's already written, because the ksav can't be mixed in with the Baal Peh. And that's how this is explained in the Yerushalmi. In Megillah, Dalet, in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. So it doesn't say it explicitly in the Gemara. It just says that according to Pasuk, that Baruch, and from his mouth he would read all the words to me, and I was writing on a scroll with ink. Which means that Baruch ben Neria told the Sarim that Yirmiyahu HaNavi would tell him b'kol ram, Baal Peh es Nevuosav, and then he would write it down. So in other words, you have to write me pi ish acher, hakoyre, velo mi pi atzmo. That's what he's trying to prove. Because how do you see that? Because you see Vayter, that's pshat. Because Vayter, it says, I, Rabbi Meir, did write a Megillah. There was no Megillah, and he wrote it mipi atzmo. and not menaksav. And then he read it, and it says, "Ein lemeidim mishas hadchak." But the lechatchila, you have to take it from. You can't do it baal peh. You have to take it from somewhere else. And that's what it says there in the Yerushalmi. I feel the ragel b'tar kezvel ayegu b'hoge mepi v'kore. And then it brings the maisa with baruch. In other words, you shouldn't write it baal peh. You should make sure that somebody is either you're reading it from the sefer. In the case of Baruch ben Neriah, it was dictated to him by Yirmiyahu, or otherwise you should have a sefer in front of you. But not baal peh. However, Rabbi Meir, he wrote it baal peh. He didn't write it mitoch haksav. And then the Gemara says, all right, that was shas hadchak. So the explanation is because you don't want to be ma'arev ksav and al peh, because ksav has to remain ksav, and therefore it has to be written mitoch haksav from what's written. And then al peh is al peh, but you can't mix the two up. And that's all shayach v'kol zayin shayach b'gedolei ha'mayla roi mo'laman b'chayihem v'kol sheish bo de'a ki'ilu nuna beit ha'mikdash b'yama v'rosh ha'mashiach alav zorech v'rabi meir shenamar alav v'af apayich yisharu negdecha k'tuv shalom k'tav shalom v'nektav k'shem shehitil kan kantum b'toch ha'dio. So Rabbi Meir was on that madrega. Rabbi Meir was on the madrega that he can mix in Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the Torah of Yemos HaMashiach. So as long as there's Amalek, there are two levels. There's Ksosov Zikaron B'Sefer and then Simbo's Ne'Yoshua. There are two divergent modes of transmission. So there's no unity. There's not as much unity anymore because of Amalek and Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. But Reb Meir, who's living in this messianic world, who was Roe Olamo B'Chayehem, he's already sees Olam Haba in his own lifetime. So such a person can write Shalom and Aksav, just like he puts Kan Kantum B'Toch Adio, because now you have a merging of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, so he can write the Ksav Baal Peh, and he can put the Kan Kantum into the Dio, because he doesn't have a problem with not being able to erase it, because he's in that world that it's not going to be erased anymore. And he applies the pasuk to him in Mishle, chapter 4, verse 25. Einecha lenochach yabitu, ve'afapecha yayeshiru negdecha. Rashi says, Einecha lenochach yabitu, yistaklu la'emes ve'layosher. You see what's true, what's honest. Yashiru negdecha, yistaklu la'yishara li'yasha darkecha negdecha. You look at what is upright to strengthen your way before you. There are other Perushim that you can see. Some say that, and this is where Rav Kook is referring to what it says in the Gemara and Maseches Megillah, that Rabbi Meir would write, Shalach la'abri shana ba'asi v'lo'ay shal Megillah, and he wrote a Megillah by heart. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir is different. Demekayim be'vav apecha, yayishiru negdecha, and your eye looks straight before you. And Rami Bar Chama said to Rav Yirmi of Difti, what does this mean? What this means is, this is Divrei Torah, Sifenecha Bo Veinenu. Afilu Hachi Mushar Netzer Meir. In other words, all you have to do is just look away. If you just close your eyes, you can just forget Torah in a second. And Rabbi Meir knew it all by heart. In other words, he was always holding with Divrei Torah. He was always connected to Divrei Torah. So therefore, he could write it by heart. So again, we're dealing with a very high madrega of Rabbi Meir, who is so completely connected to Torah. He's connected to the Torah of Mashiach. He's connected to the light, to the kusnas or of Adam and Gan Eden. He's connected to the time where there's no longer Amalek, so he doesn't need to have ink that can be erased, and he merges Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, so he can take a right Baal Peh. Ubimei Apurim shemechiyat Amalek nitgabra nitached yisod Torah Shebaal Peh im Torah Shebichtav. So on Purim, that is a Mechias Amalek. So now we talk to have the Chibur of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Isn't that interesting? That Amalek, that's what they do. They come in between. Asher korcha baderech. They don't like that derech, that mahalach. When one thing is connected to the other. Reishis goyim amolik. V'achuris adei oved. They have a reishis, but it doesn't bring to an achris. So if Torah shebichsav has to bring to Torah shebapeh, there's a mahalach to understand it. And they break that up. So now there's no longer an amolik. We can forge a unity between Torah shebichsav and Torah shebapeh. V'hadr kiblu abim b'rotzim b'mei achashverosh. Masha kiblu kfar adei kfias har kegigis. And what they were makabel already with Torah shebichsav, now they're makabel Torah shebal peh. Mitzah kedivrei atanchuma, how you doing? Shehim nechonu lemotzoi das, the people who understand know that the tanchum is correct, that the kafaleim har kegigis, right, was at Har Sinai, the gnasav nishma was on Torah shebichsav. What about Torah shebal peh? In Torah shebal peh, there was kafaleim har kegigis. And now they were makabel the Torah shebal peh b'rotzon. So now they have the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh Beratza. V'advorim mistafim l'seifim rabim lo'ided leiv tohirei leiv lalos bepur gam bimei ha'metzukot halalu. Ki ha'orim elei esason. Yesha u'bitachon oz yeshuot. Imanu hem shruyim v'simchat olam hi nachalateinu sela. You see such an optimistic person. So he writes over here that this is this has branches and more branches, and this can encourage us with those with a pure spirit to be so happy in these very, very difficult and trying times, because the lights are filled with joy, with salvation, with strength, with trust, and they're together with us, and Simchas Olam is Nachalaseinu. So this was a short letter, and from this short letter, Rav Adari writes Bishulei Hashmua. In other words, Bishulei HaSicha, he writes Bishulei HaSicha, usually it's Bishulei HaShmua. Anyway, so this is his sort of summary and bringing together of everything. Hashkafa achdutit al ha-metziut hi ha-munachet b'yisod ha-shmua. Kishem shenu mavchilim b'rishoniyuto shel ha-malek rishit goyim b'mishkalo ha-skuli mehabchina ha-lumit chevratit, kach gam kayemet ha-malekiyut moked zohamav resha b'rabadim ha-shonim shel kol ha-yesh. So there's this unity in all of creation. So there's the reishis of ha-malek, and we find it in all levels, not only on the national and social level, there's evil on all levels. Even on the level of kedusha, harisha poelet l'chol gova l'chol omek hakiyumiyut, achein b'makbil mistarat chovat hamchia. So in parallel to that, we have to erase the evil on all levels of mitzis. Omel mitziut hamchia v'mechika al kol panim ot apnei kol atam shtachim gedim shebem mitbatit hamalekiyut hamurushat. Wherever there's a malekius, there has to be this possibility of erasing it. דוגמה לנקודת מגע אפשרית בין זוהמת הרשע לבין ערכי הקדושה נמצאת בדיני כתיבת ספר תורה. So an example of this point of contact, this possible point of contact between the evil of Amalek and Kedushas and Dinei Ksiva Sefer Torah. Ksiva Sefer Torah is Divrei Elokim Chaim. Apparently it's all Kedush and Tara. How do you make it impure? The answer is, an Apikoros writes a Sefer Torah, you burn it. So that's an extreme expression of the how tuma can infiltrate kedusha, but the very possibility of, you see, there's a possibility of kedusha and tuma of ra and tov, and that's how you see where the Rav gave the example of Sarah shel Esav nevakim Yaakov, that he was able to be pogea b'kaf yerech yerecho, and the sciatic nerve, to harm the sciatic nerve. So that very possibility is what generates the halacha that the writing has to be erased, and it's learned from the parish of Sota, and from there you learn the Gabi Ksiva Sefer Torah, that it has to be able to be erased, because that's when the Ra is coming into the world of Tov. I guess the world of Sota, you have something so good and so beautiful, a relationship between a man and a woman. And then now she's violated that relationship by secluding herself with another man and possibly doing something dastardly. So that's something that has to be erased. And Memel, all Kedusha. There can be Tumah that infiltrates Kedusha. And that's why it has to be Ksav Shiyochel Himachos. That could be erased. Ktiva b'dio natul kan kantuma me'afsheret mechika yektiva ruya al pi acharat ha'alacha. V'neged da'ato menagosh el Rabbi Meir. רבי מאיר הוא איש העתיד, מעולם התיקון, ומכאן יחסו לעידן המשיחי כפי שנתפרשו דברי הירושלמי, מכאן הפיכתו את אור החטא לאור, את אור החטא לאור הגנוז מתחת לאור, with an eye. In other words, Rabbi Meir is a futuristic man. He's a professor in Bar Ilan. He's a lot of videos online talking about the future. He's a future atidan. The people who talk about what's going to be in the future, I never listen to that. We'll see what's going to be. You can, you know, make predictions. Even Jimmy the Greek used to make predictions about Sunday afternoon football games. You know, he was a big better, Jimmy the Greek, and I think he was right about 33% of the time. So you just knew that if you're whatever Jimmy the Greek says, you say the opposite, then you're going to be a rich man. If you're a betting man, I don't recommend it. In any event, so the future, we'll leave that to the when it comes, we'll deal with it. We'll see. But I'm sure it interests a lot of people to talk about what's going to be because they have extra time in their hands. But we don't. In any event, so the I'm sure there's a benefit also. Maybe people who predict the future, so then you can prepare for it, you can plan for it, you can see what you're going to do. So I'm not negating that, chas v'shalom. We like to see, we try, like Marina Rav, to see the light in everything. We're not always so successful. We try. Probably not enough. Anyway, so Rabbi Meir, the halacha can't be like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is shaykh to the future. Rabbi Meir is shaykh to the olam ha-meshichi. So you can see there in the Gemara in Eruv and Antaf, Gimel Amid Beis, and Rabbi Nissan Gaon, the Maharsha. לעומת רבי מאיר חי רבי עקיבא את המציאות הקיימת, שבאנו נאלצים להשתמש בכוח המחיקה, טעויות אנוש, ההווה מן התשובה, חיפושי דרך וכו', כולל מכריחים את קיומו של המחק. מידת העולם דורשת את כוח המחיקה, וזאת גם בכל ערכי הקודש, ביותר מכריחה מציאותו של המלאק על כל גילויו את מציאותה של המחייה והמחיקה. So that's what המולק necessitates. המולק necessitates, and that's רבי עקיבא. Rabbi Akiva is living in the present world. He's dealing with Amalek. He's dealing with the reality, with the sad reality of Amalek. So he says you have to have ksav that can be erased. Yisoda shel ha-mechika mitayaches me'etzem havayata ledvarim shebichtav. Kol od shelo ne'alma ha-mechika me'olamenu kayam i-te'um bein dvarim shebichtav ledvarim shebaal peh. So the foundation of mechika relates to dvarim shebichsav. So now there's a lack of coordination between Dvarim Shebichtav and Dvarim Shebaalpeh, where there's no mechika. And therefore, if there's no longer a need for erasing, then there's going to be a harmony. L'chein sha'a she'te'alem ha-mechika, takum ha-harmonia bein ha-Torah Shebichtav lebein ha-Torah Shebaalpeh. Now there's going to be this newfound harmony, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, because neither are erasable. Babua shel tikkun atidi zeh hitrachasha bimei ha-Purim. So this, a little bit of a shadow of this future tikkun happened on Purim. Kishemichiyat ha-malek nitgabra, uba skamat ha-kabbalah af al Torah shebaal peh. So now we erase it, we erase ha-malek. We accept b'simcha Torah shebaal peh. And now this brings to an ichud of Torah shebichtav and Torah shebaal peh. Because now there's less ha-malek in the world. And now we can bring the two together. That's Rabbi Meir Dick. Ulam kolot shelo ba'idan ha-shlemut ha-sofi kayam par. But until we get to that end, there's this gap between ha-ktav ve'ha-ba'al peh. V'chein asur l'chtov afilu ot echad shelo min ha-ktav. So in the meantime, you have to copy from what's already written. You can't mix into Torah shebichtav and Torah shebaal peh. Bichtav has to be min ha-ktav. And Rabbi Meir is living in that future world. L'gabei dido, l'ktav and al-peh. Neither of them have mechika. They're completely coordinated. And therefore, he can write the Megillah, ktav, baal peh. Because he puts the two together. Karov lomar, this I'll say a little bit of the voice of Harav Adari, zichrono levracha. Karov lomar, shemimaaracha zo, mashach harav, kavei simcha lemetziyut ha'aguma b'mitzukat melchemet olam harishona, kfi sheramaz b'chatima, v'hadvarim mestafim lesifim rabim, leoded leiv tehorei ruach la'aloz bepur. אמנם ייתכן שישנה כאן רמיזה להמשך הערג המחשבתי גם ביחס ליסודות ההלכתיים שמפתחותיו מונחים בשיחה שהגיעתנו מפי כתבו של האומר. So it could be that the Rav got a lot of hope, tikva, from this, for this present horrific mitzvah of World War I, which is just We always talk about World War II, but World War I was horrific. But it's in the shadow of World War II because that was even worse. And that's why his Merames at the end, it encourages us, those of a pure spirit, to be happy on Purim. However, there's also a remez here to Hemshech, that it says there's Si'ifim Si'ifim Rabim, that I'm going to write more about this in the future. So Baruch Hashem, we are zochet to this beautiful letter that the Rav wrote to his son. B'chlal, so mispar, those letters that he wrote, they could have just gone, the Tehom HaNashiyah, they could have been completely in the abyss of forgetfulness, and instead we have, Baruch Hashem, numerous volumes of the Igrot HaRa'ya. They're still working on putting out more. There are all these letters just around in people's homes. They have to just collect them and then publish them so the world can benefit. So there's a lot out there that we're waiting for, but in the meantime, we have such gratitude that we're able to access this beautiful Torah, and that we should be zoche mitzvah Hashem for lahidim ma'aseh ara v'simcha v'sasan v'ikar. Thank you so much for listening. Shalom, shalom.